So intelligent pundit would think they're going to lose. Blog Talk Radio.
Up next, the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark.
Good morning, sports fans. This is the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. I am Mr. JP. On the phone lines, I have Mr. Mark Foray. Mark, how are you doing this morning?
It's Sunday somehow already, which I can't figure out because it should still be Saturday. But other than that, it's been a good fantasy football season so far. I mean, we've gotten a lot of surprises, a lot of shocking kind of results. We're still waiting for a lot of first-round picks to actually play up to their potential. So I think that makes it more exciting that way. I mean, obviously, you like there to be a little bit of uncertainty going into the seasons because otherwise it just gets boring. But I think this year, more than most, it's been kind of shocking how little teams are playing as well as we would have expected them to. So first off, just make sure everybody who is listening out there, if you've got fantasy football questions and you'd like our take on it, our number is 929-477-3204. Again, 929-477-3204. We'll try and repeat that number as much as possible.
You're correct, and I want to bring in our next guest right away. He is the South Dakota Packrat himself, Mr. Nate D-O-double-G Dog. Nate, how you doing?
Guys, it's great. Another beautiful day in Colorado. Lots of sports going on this week. Excited to talk some fantasy football. Mark hit the nail on the head. It's just been kind of unexpected season so far. And excited to talk about it.
Very good. Well, I'm going to start off the show by saying my number one and number two picks in fantasy football in our league are both out with injuries.
And somehow they're out for the year.
They are. I'm 2-1 somehow. I don't know how.
Yeah, I that's going to be an interesting thing to see how your record goes. I mean, and that's fantasy in a nutshell right there. It doesn't matter how well you prepare. It doesn't matter how well you draft. I mean, maybe if you are super deep in a keeper type league, like I am in my keeper league, I've got, four or five deep at both of the flex positions. But in a redraft league where you're actually doing a manual draft one by one, it's impossible to be deep everywhere. And, everyone's going to have injuries. It's very painful when you see your top picks go down early. I remember when I took Tom Brady in the first round, that was the year that he tore his ACL in the first game. And my season ended right then. I never even came close to competing. There is that old adage that you can't win your fantasy football league in the first round of the draft, but you can lose it if you take the wrong player. Now, the problem is that you can't almost always, never replace that player. Now, if you happen to get their backup when a guy goes down to injury who ends up shouldering the load and has, a great year in that position because they fit the system, then you can salvage it. But otherwise, it gets really difficult. And you got to say, the two we're talking about, if people don't know, are Adrian Peterson and Keenan Allen, who are both legit absolute superstars. These guys can play as well as anybody else on that field.
And, the worst part of it is, I think the last time I took Adrian Peterson in the fantasy draft, I think he got hurt that year, too. So I might be KOD on him. I might be KOD for Adrian Peterson.
Well, I took Adrian Peterson the year that he got in trouble for whipping on his kid, and that one hurt. I mean, that one, to lose a guy for no reason other than he's just stupid and beating down people, I mean, that was brutal. But then again, I mean, we don't know what really happened. We just know that the NFL kind of goes overboard when it comes to protecting the shield. So first question I got, I want to make sure I don't forget to do this. Now, Tevin Coleman is the quote-unquote backup for the Atlanta Falcons. He has been nothing short of outstanding this year. But it also brings up a little bit of an issue that comes up, and that is that sometimes players have a nice week in the first 3 to 4 weeks of the season, and it really skews things, right? It makes them look like a better player than they are. So here's my question, because I have Tevin Coleman on two of my leagues. I was a believer, and I also am not a believer in Devontae Freeman. I think he was a sham. So Tevin Coleman is the number five overall running back. Is it time to put him in your starting lineup?
Nate, well, you want to go with that one first?
Yeah, so, I mean, the guy had a huge week last week, 3 touchdowns. I think he's hurt right now. From my understanding, he is going to play today. So today might be another kind of watch and see what he does. I mean, it's hard to say at this point. Had he been healthy, I would have said no-brainer. You got to play the guy. Atlanta's offense looks like the real deal. Matt Ryan looks like he's resurged and is back to the old Matt Ryan. So I think today will be kind of a telltale story for Tevin, whether he can play on that ankle or not. I do disagree slightly with Mark in that Devonta Freeman is – he's a bruiser, man. I watched the guy play last week. He had a phenomenal fantasy week. He scored me 31
about
points.
45 yards,
yeah,
if I remember.
He was fantastic. So it's that
He absolutely played well. I'm not doubting that.
It's that old thunder and lightning with those two. You know, he's more of the bruiser, the more every down back, where Tevin Coleman, you get more explosiveness, a little more speed, and you know, it's a great 1-2 punch for Atlanta. I think they're going to be a lot better this year. They just need to get that defense to improve.
You bring up Matt Ryan, and I picked up Matt Ryan in one of my leagues where I have Tom Brady, and I'm waiting for him to come around. And then also in another league where I have Russell Wilson, who I just don't trust right now because he's got a hurt knee, he's got a hurt ankle. You know, he's just without the mobility, he's not the same quarterback. And Matt Ryan has been doing phenomenal for me. He is the number 2 overall rated quarterback in the league. And, you know, I couldn't have asked for more from him. But here's the question. Is he really good? I mean, I've never thought Matt Ryan was that good. I've always thought he was extremely overrated. But the question here is he good? Or is it just that his team hasn't played anybody of substance at this point? I mean, if you don't play a good defense, you know, you're going to have good numbers.
That's a really good question.
I think that's a great question. You can only play who you're scheduled against. So,
and real quick, here's who he's played. Think about the past defenses of these teams real quick. They played the Buccaneers, who might have the worst defense in the league. They played the Saints, who probably do have the worst defense in the league. And they played the Raiders, who have the 3rd worst pass defense in the league. So is Matt Ryan really any good? Or have they just not played a defense yet? They're playing Carolina this week. We're going to learn a lot this week. And if I was a gambling man, I would bet on Carolina 3 times over.
And you're saying you're not a gambling man?
No. Gambling is illegal. I can't gamble.
I got to tell you what, man. Cam Newton looked sharp coming into the game. He had a nice hat on, a bow tie, and the whole 9 yards. Busting out of his sport coat walking into the stadium today. It was actually funny when I watched him. I had to bring that up real quick for some reason. I don't know why.
So that was my first question was Tevin Coleman. So what's your guys, would you start him over, say, well, I don't really know who I would start him over. I've got Mark Ingram. I don't think I'm going to start him over him. I got CJ Anderson, can't start him over him. But, I mean, would you start Tevin Coleman if you had him on your team, or would you think that he was, you know, a little too much of a question mark?
If it was my team, I'd start him because I don't have anybody right now. I mean, I've got Murray on at Oakland, but that's it.
Yeah.
See, I've got Forte and Mark Ingram, so it's hard to replace. I mean, Forte is one of the best running backs right now in football, with it numbers-wise. Mark Ingram finally broke out last week. And my flex spot is Demaryius Thomas. So it's really hard to put Tevin Coleman in, but it's also very painful to have the number 5 ranked guy sitting on your bench.
Sitting on your bench, right.
Yeah, I mean, it's early in the season, but I think you've got to consider Coleman as a mid-range number two running back, but a solid flex play. I think he's, you know, again, it depends on your league. You know, if you're in a PPR league, you know, he's going to get the catches for Atlanta out of the backfield. You know, if you're not in a PPR league, I don't think he's worth a flex play this week against that front seven of the Carolina Panthers. But, you know, I think Carolina is not as good as people think. I know they have a great front seven, but I think Atlanta's going to play on tough, if not win today. So
really?
Yeah.
I can see Atlanta winning today.
We should do a predictions on that one, because I think that the Carolina wins that game by 17 points. I think they expose Atlanta for having no real offensive ability and just absolutely destroy them. But, you know, that's what's often about football, right? You have no idea.
No,
make sure everybody out there heard our number, 929-477-3204. If you have any questions and you want to ask us about your fantasy lineup, 929-477-3204. Next question, Trevor Siemian. Monster week last week. Broncos are playing a horrid pass defense we already talked about in Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Well, it's probably the second or third worst overall defense, and maybe the worst overall pass defense. Is Trevor Siemian a startable player this week?
You know, Nate, let me take this one. There's a lot of analysts all week that have said the Broncos are going to lose this game. And I honestly believe that they might, just because the game time temperature in Tampa Bay is going to be about 90 with 100% humidity, and they're going to be sweating their butts off on defense. They just might lose this game. I don't know if I'd start him.
Who is actually thinking that the Broncos are going to lose to Tampa Bay?
Every single person on ESPN.
Well, Vegas.
Wow,
I
would call every one of the ESPN people idiots, because the Broncos, if they lose that game, this would be the most disappointing loss of their season if they lose to Tampa Bay.
Yeah, but
does not have a smart enough quarterback to beat their defense.
It's a trap game. This is a trap.
I have to agree with JP. It does seem like the perfect trap game. It just seems too easy. I think the Broncos may be looking past the Buccaneers. You know, I think from what I heard, though, it's going to be really wet today. So that could play into the game. I think the Broncos are going to pull it out, but I think it's Vegas knows something. Why are they only putting that 3.5? Like,
well,
maybe,
Nate, you're on the road a long time ago.
It's what?
It's an East Coast game. It's a long travel day for them, and they're on the road. I mean, you're not going to give a team on the road that much of a leg up unless the team they're playing is completely incompetent. And while the Buccaneers don't really have what they need right now to be a really competitive team, like in terms of going to the playoffs, they're not like the Cleveland Browns. They're not, or the Miami Dolphins. I mean, they're not a train wreck.
True.
They're just a team that's not there yet. And if you look at the Broncos, it's without question, their problem, the receivers that give them fits are the receivers that are small and quick and slot guys. They don't have any problem with large receivers. And Mike Evans and Vincent Jackson are straight out big tall receiver guys. And I think the Broncos have very little trouble containing them when they run either man or a cover three on them. So the question is, Broncos have trouble with the run. So can Tampa Bay run on them? But Tampa Bay no longer has this week, I don't think anyway, Doug Martin is out, if I know
correctly. the muscle hamster's out.
So does that mean, is Charles Sims a startable player this week?
I would say yes. He's a solid number two running back this week.
I mean, with the matchup, you would think so, right? I mean, because the Broncos have not stopped the run this year.
Yeah, no.
I mean, they're tremendous against the pass, but they are not very impressive against the run at all. So, you know, I think this is one of those weeks where he can be a good fill-in.
You spoke briefly about Trevor Siemian. I think this is a big week for C.J. Anderson. I think he goes back to his week one, week two production. He's going to get 100 yards and a touchdown. I think he's probably a top three, top four running back for me this week. So I like him a lot in that game. I still think Mike Evans will get his. I think he gets a touchdown. I don't know if he gets 100 yards. I think he's more like 5 catches for 60 yards and a touchdown. I don't see a lot of scoring in that game, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, if it's going to be really wet, obviously it's hard to get a lot of points. And, you know, it is a big week for Simeon overall because this will be a big test on how he commands the offense coming off a huge win when there can always be a little bit of a letdown. And I agree with you that C.J. Anderson should be looking down the barrel of a nice game, especially if the way Tampa, you know, plays their defense, the Broncos go to a lot of screen passes and pitches and things like that, which really kind of play into the strength of C.J. Anderson as far as, you know, as far as I usually see it. So, but it should be a good game overall. You know, what else is kind of crazy? We got Jamal Charles and Rob Gronkowski finally playing some football. Are
yes,
these
we
two
did.
Guys start worthy? I'm sorry. I know Gronk played last week, but he didn't really get any passes.
Well, Gronk is definitely start worthy. Now, Jamal, I would wait a week and see what he does on that knee. Personally, that's just.
It looks like, is it Charkhandrick West? He's out today. So, who's Kansas City playing again, Mark?
Kansas City. Oh, I have to look. I don't have any Kansas City players.
Hold on. Give me one second here. I'll get it up for you in a second. I just got to scroll through this real quick.
They're at Pittsburgh tonight.
Yes.
It's at Pittsburgh. That's going to be a high score game.
Pittsburgh has got a crappy defense, so I would assume that you would want to start most of your Kansas City players, but I wouldn't start Jamal Charles yet. Especially if West is out, then, man, I would start Ware without – I mean, he'd be a number –
I think Spencer Ware is he's a back end number one running back this week, I think. You were talking about Gronkowski. I think that guy makes everybody around him better, so all the Patriots are gonna be better than they already have been.
Oh, yeah.
Do we know who's the starting quarterback yet? Is it Jacoby Brissett
Brissett.
Did they say who?
Whoever number 7 is,
Brissett,
right?
So it's going to be a scrambling game, huh?
Yeah.
Garoppolo's like 12 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jimmy
Oh, you're right, yeah. Garoppolo is inactive. Is Garoppolo. Let's see. And also – you know, we should just a quick update, everybody. 17-6 Jaguars ahead in London. They're just kind of steamrolling the Colts so far, but we'll see what happens in the second half. Next person that's kind of a shock. Well, it shouldn't be a shock. Josh Gordon checks into rehab. What the hell is wrong with this guy?
You know, I bet you I even know where he went to rehab at, because it probably is the same place Manziel went.
He needs to go to Betty Ford Clinic or something. I mean, the guy is just – what an idiot. I'm sorry, but is there anything in your life you wouldn't give up for the next 6 years for $50 million and fame?
I'd give up everything.
Yeah, I mean, I'm never going to condemn a guy for going to rehab, especially if he's got a problem. Just the timing is just interesting. You know, he was set to come off with suspension next week, and the Browns really need him. You know, I don't know why all of a sudden has he decided,
because he knows he was going to fail his piss test, and he was going to get a year-long suspension. If he does this, he doesn't take the test, and he might get another 8-game suspension or something. And maybe come back into this year or come back at the end of the next season. But if he went in and failed that test, automatic year gone.
I hadn't thought of that. That makes a lot of sense.
Well, here's the thing. The NFL can't come into a private rehabilitation clinic and actually piss test you. So, you know, that's a perfect example there, Mark.
So, I mean, I can't get over because don't get me wrong, I understand enjoying, you know, your recreational substances of whatnot. I mean, hell, in Colorado, pot is legal here, right? So, I mean, people don't even really give it a second thought for the most part. But I just don't understand, when you're offered millions of dollars, fame and fortune, how do you not give something up? You could tell me anything I have to give up, anything, one thing I have to give up for the next 7 years to never have to worry about money again for the rest of my life, and I wouldn't even have to think about it twice.
That's addiction for you. I said that's addiction for you, you know.
Well, I'm addicted to plenty of stuff. I can still quit, you know. It's just, I'm sorry.
Well,
look at heroin. I quit.
You know, a lot of guys can't. A lot of guys can't. Obviously.
That's baloney. I quit nicotine. Nicotine is the hardest thing besides heroin to quit. And I quit nicotine almost without even thinking about it. Why I just decided to. And that was just for my health. If you had told me, hey, here's $7 million sitting right here in a bank account, you can have it if you don't take another, you don't take ingest nicotine for the next 10 years. I would instantly stop, and every time I thought about it, go, I like millions of dollars. Oh, I want a cigarette. No, I like millions of dollars. And that, it just blows my mind. I'm sorry. That's just stupid.
What's Powerball at now? $60 million? $65 million?
I don't know. I haven't looked at Powerball. You should say Mega Millions.
I saw it on a billboard somewhere. It's really low. I was like, you know what? Your odds might be
won.
Better when it's really low.
Somebody must have just won, yeah.
Yeah.
But and some of you may have been playing. They got that new Lotto or Lucky for Life. It's now in Colorado. It started in, I want to say, Missouri or Kentucky, and it's now in like 15 or 20 states. Lucky for Life, if you win that, you get $1,000 a day for the rest of your life. Or if you get the five numbers and don't get the special, like, lucky number or whatever, lucky ball, you get $1 million. Or you get $25,000 a year for the rest of your life.
$1,000
a day.
Wow.
Every day,
yeah,
for the rest of your life. Now, you can get
how much
a, you can get a, you can get the, you can get the, that's like the annuity, or you can also just decide to take it as a lump sum. And I want to say, as a lump sum, it comes out to like $168 million or something like that. But,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, I would just do the $1,000 for life, because then you never have to worry. I mean, sure, you get a big clump of money early on, and you can go crazy with it. But $1,000 a day for life, that's fucking $7,000 a week. $20,000 a month. That's all I would take that.
Yeah,
I would too. I tell you what, guys, Jacksonville looks pretty good in this game. I have to admit.
Well,
I'm sitting in the hotel room right next. I'm broadcasting right next to my TV in my hotel room down in Durango, Colorado.
They're moving now,
and I tell you what, man, they look pretty good.
But Durango's a pretty city, especially when it snows.
Me and Mark could probably grab 8 other guys off move the ball on that defense, so
you probably
is the key,
Colts
isn't it?
Had
that the,
really
the,
bad.
The Colts have no defense. The Colts have no offensive line. You got to wonder who's running things in Indianapolis. I mean, it's Ursay, right? What's going on in there? I mean, they are drafting terribly. They aren't signing anybody any good. They haven't
they
had
really
a 100-yard rusher in 3 years.
Yeah, it's interesting considering that Andrew Luck went out with a lacerated kidney last year, and they didn't do anything to really protect him, or they didn't shore up the defensive line.
The offensive line is worse this year.
Yeah,
the offensive line is worse this year than it did last year.
Yeah,
that's the problem is that they're not drafting well. They draft linemen like they always have. They drafted linemen every year, and they never had a great offensive line. And so the defense just sat there and suffered and withered away while they kept trying to get a good offensive line. If you can't draft good offensive linemen, you really shouldn't be a GM, because good teams, the Patriots, the Broncos, the Eagles, I mean, all these teams that have good offensive line protection. I mean, the Broncos were horrible last year, horrible offensive line.
Their offensive line this year is fantastic.
I mean,
I think the GM for Indianapolis is showing that he's a complete idiot. I mean, didn't he give up a first-rounder for Trent Richardson? That guy's not even in the league.
Trent Richardson, what a joke.
Ursa is all about being the owner. He wants to be the man. I mean, now Nate, you're going to attest to this. I'm not sure if you actually know this fact, but you know what Ursa bought for $1 million, right?
what he bought for $1 million?
Yeah, think of the music industry.
No.
Jerry Garcia's Tiger guitar.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
He bought the
Tiger. When you're that rich, what difference does it make? I mean, $1 million, you know.
He bought the Tiger.
That's a great example of how ridiculous our economy is. Is when you have some people making so much money that they put $1 million on a music instrument. You know, I mean, if it was one of those violins, I would understand because those things are precision craftsmanship and nothing sounds like them. But just to have the guitar of a famous musician and you send $1 million, that just shows you have way, way too much money.
These are custom-made Irwin guitars now. These are guitars that are well above the standard of any other guitar.
Right, but we're not talking about the difference. Those violins I'm talking about, those violins are so intricately made, they are worth $1 million in cash. This is a guitar.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's a fan, and that I understand. You're buying it because you're a fan, and that's fine.
All right.
I'm just saying that you can spend $1 million on a music instrument that you probably don't even play, it's just kind of laughable unless you're like a Planet of Hollywood or Hard Rock Cafe where you're going to have it on display. You know what I mean?
So back on task here, we've got that Rams-Cardinals game today. Do you guys think Todd Gurley has found his rhythm, or did he just have a good game? Are the Cardinals going to be able to shut him down?
I think Gurley is a very good player playing on a bad offensive line with a coaching staff that does not seem to know what to do in terms of offensive play calling. Yeah, they went crazy last week, but again, that's the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers' defense is so bad. It's the worst defense I've seen, and I'm saying that even though the Saints have a defense that's so bad, it almost makes you cringe when you watch them. You know, I mean,
well, there's
the
a lot of
defense
bad.
Is that bad.
What about the Colts? I think the Colts are just as bad as those two teams.
The Colts are just as bad as anybody.
I think the Colts are bad, but I don't think they're as bad as the Buccaneers. Literally, outside of two decent linemen, have nothing on defense that scares anyone. I mean,
that linebacker they have.
I was thinking maybe of a 3-4 guy that plays the outside zone, outside on the four.
Levante David or whatever, that guy is.
That guy's a stud. Now, who would think that?
They got him, and they've got McCoy, who is good. So we'll see what they do this week. This week will be a good test to see if they're any good or not. But, I mean, as far as Gurley goes, I don't think the Rams figured out anything. I don't think they found their rhythm. I think the Rams scored what they scored because they were playing the Bucs. The Bucs can't stop anyone. I think that they're going to play a good defense this week, or what should be a good defense, even though they haven't quite played like it. But I think their front seven, I don't see him doing a whole lot.
Yeah, it's a tough call.
I give him 70 yards.
70 yards. Well, I'll tell you what, right now, I'm debating whether I should pull him and put Jordan Howard in.
Who are the Bears playing this week?
The Lions.
Yeah,
boy. It's hard to pick.
Only because it's a division game would I start Howard. I think the Lions are a much better team than they currently are getting credit for. And speaking of, I mean, how about that Matt Stafford? I mean, he was one of my favorite sneaky low quarterbacks to get coming into the year. And boy, has he produced. I mean,
how about Matt Stafford? How about Marvin Jones?
Let's talk about Marvin Jones.
I guess
crushing it last week.
46 points. Let's move into that game. Holy cow. That guy, 205 yards and a touchdown, or 204 yards and a touchdown. I mean,
he single-handedly won me one of my leagues last week. I mean, 46 points for one player is – what's that?
Kelvin Johnson who?
You know what? And this is what – now, I'm going to toot my own horn, and, of course, in 3 weeks from now, they could look horrible, and I'll look like an idiot. But I said when Kelvin Johnson was announced retired and we did our fantasy football show, I said, I think, there go the Colts, baby. Woo! Just so everybody knows, the Colts just had a long pass down to the 8-yard line. It's 20-6 in favor of Jacksonville.
That looks
but here
like
comes,
a sack. I can't believe they didn't call that a sack.
Me never hit the ground. Well, they're going to show a replay right here. Looks like he walked down. Can you challenge that?
Yeah, I bet you can.
That's going to be brutal. It's coming back.
There's the challenge right there.
There's
he's
the
completely down.
Oh man, that hurt. Dang it.
So who were we talking about? Was it Marvin Jones?
Yeah, you were talking about Marvin Jones.
So I mean, that guy had an amazing week. He had a couple of good weeks. Hurt this week. Oh, I don't think Love hit the ground. I think he was riding on top of the calf of the defensive player.
No, right there.
We
could
see a completion there.
You can see the divot in the ground.
It looks like a knee hit.
Yeah, there's
don't
a divot.
I'm hoping for it.
I think
there's an actual divot where his knee hit.
So, well, that's a bummer.
Detroit, I think it's kind of a surprise. I thought Marvin Jones would have a good year, but I feel like most people probably thought Golden Tate was going to be the go-to guy in that offense.
You know, it's
so
funny
I've
had Golden Tate the past couple of years in fantasy, and I thought exactly the opposite now that that Golden Tate wasn't going to be the go-to guy. Because they have everybody now. There's nobody. I mean, Golden Tate's getting double covered now. With Callen gone, I mean, Golden Tate's getting the double, and now you have everybody else open.
That's a big part of it for sure.
Now
they're going to have to shift their coverage to Marvin, so maybe Golden Tate is a good play today.
Golden Tate's better as a second guy, so it would really help him.
I think he's a solid, solid flex play today. I think the Bears are going to be rolling their coverage to Marvin Jones, so we'll see. What about Theo Riddick and that running game? Is it Dwayne Washington?
Well, I wouldn't worry about anybody now that Abdullah went down. I mean, Riddick became the number one, and he's going to be a legit number one going forward. Is Abdullah even coming back, or is he done for the year?
No, I think they put him on IR.
I think they did.
The IR rules changed this year. You can bring a guy back after 8 weeks now.
Yeah, it's eight weeks. They can practice at 6 weeks, but they're gone for 8 weeks.
Yeah, so QB not down by contact or down by contact. Call overturned. Looks like I think they're bringing Indy back. He was definitely down.
Watch it right here.
Here's a quick question for you guys. So let's revisit the first round of our redraft league. Again, if anybody has any questions and wants to call in, 929-477-3204. You can always find our number on our Facebook page or on Blog Talk under the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. Going back to the redraft, the league that we're all in together, so here are the first round picks. Adrian Peterson, A.J. Green, David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott, Lamar Miller, Odell Beckham Jr., Julio Jones, Todd Gurley, Rob Gronkowski, and Antonio Brown. Is that the most underperforming first round that you can remember, or was last year worse?
I think last year was worse.
I would probably agree with that.
I think last year. Look at Antonio Brown has done his thing. Obviously, Gronkowski's been hurt, so that's kind of hard to grade him, but I guess that's part of it.
Odell has underperformed. Julio has underperformed.
Odell has not done much. David Johnson's been pretty good.
Has been good. A.J. Green has also been pretty good. Ezekiel Elliott is almost exactly who I thought he was going to be, which is average. But we'll see. He still has time to turn it on.
Ezekiel's been fantastic.
12 points, 14 points, and 21 points. I don't think that's first round pick material.
There can't be too many running backs that have been better than that.
No, they're actually.
Well, yeah, Let's take a look. That's a good question.
What's his ranking?
Well, I'll let you know here in one sec.
Yeah,
I think it's funny that he was going to be this amazing running back behind that line.
Trust me,
so Ezekiel Elliott is number, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. He's 13th overall, just ahead of Theo Riddick and Isaiah
Okay,
Cole.
That surprises me. I would have thought he was in the top six.
You can't get high in running back if you don't get catches and you don't get touchdowns, and he doesn't get either one.
Yeah,
it's not all his fault that he doesn't get touchdowns, but he's not the runner that. Now, it might just be that he still has to learn the system. It's different than college. And last week he looked better than he did the weeks before, but I just think it's funny that he was a first round pick, and I just still don't understand where that logic came from. But maybe he comes around.
Ohio State.
Well, I think that's exactly where the logic comes from, is that offensive line. They just figured that you could put anybody back there and make them successful. It's like those Bronco lines from the 90s.
But your first round pick being a rookie you've never seen play in the NFL, that just shocked me.
Yeah,
to a level
that
I just laughed at people when they were talking about doing it. I laughed at people who took him. Not that he's going to be a bad player. It's just he's doing about what I expected, and I still think he runs out of steam around week 10 and is even worse after that.
Mark, has there ever been a rookie that's been drafted in the first round like that?
Boy, not that I can imagine.
Can you think of one? I can't even think of one.
Was
Randy Moss a first-round pick? I don't think he was a first-round pick.
No,
how about
in his first year, no one knew he was even going to play.
Andrew
That's
Luck?
The problem is, with a rookie, you have no idea what they're going to do. That's why they don't get drafted. That's
Luck,
why I just thought it was so silly.
First-rounder. I don't think he was a first-rounder. I can't even think.
Who, Randy Moss?
No, Andrew Luck.
Oh, Andrew Luck was like the fifth or the sixth round of his rookie year.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of another rookie that anybody has drafted as a number one pick in their –
No.
I mean, unprecedented.
Ezekiel Elliott got his position based on the man crush that people had. There was there's very few very really good running backs. There's very few solo running backs who are going to carry the entire workload, and almost no one has as nice an offensive line to run behind. That's why he was drafted.
But you blame it on the experts. I mean, look at where they, the Matthew Berrys of the world, ESPN, CBS, those guys all had him ranked in the top 10.
They
did. Of course they do, because they have to find something to talk about that gets people talking, or they don't get web clicks. And if you don't get web clicks, you don't get money. Their contracts are based on how much web traffic that they create. And
yeah,
I mean, if you want to go by Matthew Berry, I mean, nothing against Matthew Berry. He knows football very well. But if you go and you read his love hates every week or his manifesto before the season, he is usually about 30% right, 70% wrong, just like everybody else. You know, you get a few, you get some good guesses.
There's guys
every
out
year
there
swap.
That are a lot more accurate than he is. We have a local
I would agree
guy,
on that point.
But I love, if you guys haven't listened to Cecil Lammy, that guy he's got to be at least 50-50. I mean, that guy doesn't.
Oh yeah, I would say Cecil Lammy almost over anyone because he's part of Football Guys, and for anybody who's serious about fantasy football, footballguys.com is the place you go to. I mean, there's that and there's Roto World. Those are the people who actually know what they're doing. Matthew Berry has gotten kind of lost in his celebrity because he's on ESPN.
I would even say that Eric Carabell
is a much better guesser on production than Matthew Berry is.
So maybe
which incidentally might be why
them.
Matthew Berry quit doing baseball.
Tell our listeners whatever Matthew Berry says, do the opposite, and you'll be forced to go football.
Well, I don't want to say that because the time that you say that, then he's going to nail it spot on. You know, because everybody's going to have a good year.
But
you
just said it was 30-70. So if it's 30-70.
Cumulative, yes. But everybody has good years and good weeks.
Why wouldn't you just take the opposite of what he does every week? Then you're going to do pretty well.
Well, I mean, if you have players on your team that he's talking about. He doesn't talk about that many players each week anymore. So,
right.
But I don't put any stock in what he says, mostly because he's also too much of a homer. The guy still, to this day, touts Redskin players, despite how bad that team consistently is.
He definitely has a homer mentality with the Redskins. Hey,
so looking at the
play by the Colts, it's 3rd and 18. They got a chance.
Yeah, they just had a sack there. He knocked Blake Bortles right over. I want to talk about this game coming up here, Dallas and San Francisco.
Oh boy.
What do you think about this game? Because I know so many Dallas fans that are running their mouths about how good they are that I just want to put my foot up their wazeeki and give them to Zeke. I can't stand it.
You don't like the Cowboys for obvious reasons, but I can't imagine that they don't absolutely throttle the Niners today.
I think Dallas's defense is not as good.
They're 10.
I think Blaine Gabbert is going to have a nice day today.
I would agree with you.
I think this was the week that Blaine Gabbert plays himself out of the starting lineup and Kaepernick is back in next week. Blaine Gabbert has been good, and he's not going to get better.
I think Gabbert will do fine today.
I think he has a dreadful game.
Did he just get a first down?
He did.
he hurled that guy.
They went for it on fourth, and he got first.
Yeah.
Colts are terrible.
We're doing a little play-by-play here, folks.
it's just amazing to think about what the Colts are going to do. I mean, the Colts are such a bad team. They're looking at like a 5 to 6 year rebuild, and Andrew Luck cannot be happy. I mean, there's going to be some problems in that locker room. Because you don't build a defense overnight, and they don't even have that good of an offense, really. I mean, the receivers are T.Y. Hilton, who's okay, and Dante Moncrief, who's got some talent, but neither one of them are shocking you or blowing you out of the water most weeks. And they don't have a tight end. They don't have a good running back. They don't have an offense.
I'll tell you, that'd be a great fit for Josh Gordon right there. Josh Gordon would be a great fit in that offense.
See, you know what else I think Josh Gordon would be great? San Diego. Good quarterback. They like to pass the ball. They're good at passing schemes. Yeah, he would fit well. I mean,
what about
another
good fit, I think, would be Philadelphia.
I think Philadelphia is wary of any bad locker room stuff at this point.
Yeah, they really are. I'm going to ask you, let me ask you guys this question. What happens, you know, the Colts are obviously really bad on defense. They're not going to get any better anytime soon. Andrew Luck's in the prime of his career. What if he comes to the Broncos?
Why would the Broncos want Andrew Luck?
Why wouldn't they?
I wouldn't take Andrew Luck. Are you kidding? Simeon looks fantastic, and we got Paxton Lynch in the wing. There's no reason to bring Luck in. What would we have to give up for him? I wouldn't give up more than a second and a third round pick.
Why wouldn't you bring him in for 3 years and win 3 Super Bowls?
Nah, I'll take Simeon and I'll take Paxton Lynch next couple of years. That's fine. Our defense is outstanding. Our running game is good.
He's going to be a work in progress. Paxton is. I mean, he's big.
Simeon's fantastic. They might trade Paxton Lynch. Simeon looks terrific so far.
He looks
amazing. Think about all the crap that was talked about Simeon, especially by you. All season long, listening to people tell me how bad Simeon was, how he was going to, he's going to be terrible, he can't do anything. But you know what? I want all the Bronco haters out there to eat their crow, because we're told the Broncos didn't deserve to win the Super Bowl, they weren't that good, they can't compete with their quarterback, and they're 3-0, and they're looking at the class of the league. I'm sorry. About time to give the Broncos their due.
You're setting yourself up big disappointment, buddy.
Patriots in the AFC. I don't see anyone. Maybe the Patriots. Who else is even close to the Broncos?
The Patriots are better than the Broncos. They wouldn't win the third quarterback.
We'll find that out when they play each other, won't we? I've already penciled in Patriots, Broncos, and AFC championship. Tell me why I'm wrong.
You're not wrong. Not one reason. That's what it's going
to
be.
What's the major disappointment I'm going to have? If they go to the AFC Championship with a seventh-round pick quarterback, I will consider that a masterful season and Coach of the Year by Gary Kubiak.
Yeah, no.
I won't give Kubiak Coach of the Year. Similac's got great receivers. That's what I'm going to give him. If he had the guys that Carson Wentz is thrown to, God, he would not be look as good.
Well, no, Carson Wentz isn't going to look that good once he plays against a real defense either.
Carson's got all the mechanics, all the talent. He's just got bad receivers around him.
Yeah, they're not bad receivers, but they're not great receivers.
Jordan Matthews is good. Aguilar is okay.
Terrible.
But look down the line. I mean, it's like, who else you got there?
I'm not saying that I don't think Wentz has talent. I think he's got plenty of talent, and he's shown that he's got poise, and he's also shown that the game isn't too big for him. What I'm saying is that when the Eagles play a real team coming up soon, like I think this week they play somebody halfway decent, or I mean, they bye this week.
They have a bye week this week.
they're gonna have a little bit of a shocker come in. I mean, or I think Philly fans are gonna have a little bit of a shock.
Well,
I think
I'll
Philly fans are getting really excited. And don't realize
win,
that they played the Browns, the Bears, and the Steelers.
So what about that Saints-Chargers game today? That's a big fantasy implication there.
That's going to be a high-scoring affair.
Lots of points probably going to be scored in that one. Looks like Willie Snead's going to be back on the field. Brandon Cook, Drew Brees, Phillip Rivers. I mean, boy, what a great pick Phillip Rivers has been the last couple of years. I mean, can you get a better value pick? I had the guy last year.
And look at the receivers he has are shrinking by the week, and he still keeps doing it.
I know. That shows you how good he is. And, I mean, I got him off of waivers last year. He took me to the playoffs. I mean, the guy was phenomenal. This was the year of the quarterback bargain
because I got Drew Brees in the fifth or sixth round, and Drew Brees is absolutely going crazy. Matthew Stafford I got in, I think, the ninth or the tenth round, and he's going there's a ton of value out there. I mean, the fantasy football is not that crazy compared to what we thought in terms of the position, although the individual players might be a little different. Like, we knew running back was thin this year. But listen to the top 10. This is wild. DeMarco Murray, right, number one. D'Angelo Williams, number two. That's less of a surprise. David Johnson, number three. There's your guy finally coming through from the top round of the draft. Matt Forte is number four, the guy they thought was, you know, some people say was done. Tevin Coleman is number five. LeSean McCoy is six. LeGarrette Blount is seven. Melvin Gordon is eight. Carlos Hyde is number nine, and Devontae Freeman is number 10. That's a wild top 10, if you ask me.
Wasn't Carlos Hyde a really late draft pick, like maybe sixth round in our league?
Oh, I had no – him and Melvin Gordon worried me to the point where I didn't want to touch either one of them. And, Hyde has turned out to be the only good player on that offense, and so he gets all the glory, I guess you would say. And then Melvin Gordon, going from his rookie year where he was an unmitigated disaster, the guy has got a tremendous nose for the end zone this year. I mean, what changed?
Well, injuries.
Throwing pains.
And
injuries and throwing pains.
Yeah, I mean, he's just got way more opportunity this year. I think that's a lot of it. I also think second year in an offense, you know, he's learned a lot. He's come a long way. So it's it's been fantastic. I mean, I have him in one of my leagues. He's been
off the hook. I mean, he is absolutely he's having a phenomenal year. And it just goes to show you this is why you don't take a rookie running back, because they don't know what they're doing their first year, but their second year, a lot of times they turn it around, and Gordon's another great example. We're still waiting for Gurley to, you know, figure out what's going on, but again, I blame him less than I blame a bad coaching staff and an absolute horrible line.
The problem is, the Gurley's just like, you know, before the Vikings had a much of a passing threat. It was like every team they play is going to put 8 or 9 guys in the box. There's
threat. That's the problem.
There's no threat on on offense.
Adrian Peterson used to be able to get
terrible.
But Adrian Peterson used to get 100 yards on every, you know, even when they put Nate in the box. Adrian Peterson got 100 yards every year, like almost every game he's ever played. So why can't Gurley get more?
Well, a lot of it's the offensive line. Vikings have had a pretty good offensive line. But, look at the quarterback play. That guy is probably the worst quarterback in the league. I mean, he probably is. He's probably the worst starting quarterback in the league right now. And then,
they got to get what's his name in there. They got to
match that up.
Yeah,
you got to get the kid in there. I think it's, you know, the worst thing that could happen to the Rams right now is them winning games, you know, because they're just going to keep Keenum in there while they're winning games.
Here's my question. How does Jeff Fisher still have a job as a head coach?
That's a great question. You know, guys, that brings up a funny point. I was listening to Peter King on the radio last week, and, you know, they asked him, how come Jeff Fisher is such an overrated quarterback? And he said something along the lines of, I don't understand how he can be overrated. He's so terrible. You know?
Yeah, I think he's a good coach. I think he is one of those guys that has the same problem like Josh McDaniels and Shanahan have, which is he's not a good GM. I think he has I don't know if he is the GM, but I think he has way too much influence over which players are brought in when he's with the Rams. And this happened because when he was with Tennessee, he was a really good coach and had really good teams for like 8 or 9 years. And then when they were going to lose, or Steve McNair got too old, and the owner demanded that they draft Vince Young. And Jeff Fisher tried to tell him that Vince Young's a train wreck. He can't be any good. He won't be an NFL quarterback. And the owner made him draft him and made him start him. And they went to crap. And then he went to L.A. And they have not had a single decent quarterback year player since he's been there.
I also think he's a bad play caller. I just don't think he knows how to do play calls.
Okay, so the man's been in the league 20 years, and he made the playoffs 6 of those years. That's it. I mean, that's the cold, hard blunt of the fact.
And that's when he had Steve McNair, probably.
Wow, McNair only made the playoffs 5 times?
6 times.
That's
he made the playoffs 6 times,
times,
if I remember right. Out of 20 years, he made the playoffs 6 times.
He has like the worst percentage for an active coach.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure with like a minimum certain amount of minimum games played. But I just don't see him being a very good coach. Maybe as a manager, he's okay. Like if he can manage the team, let his offensive guy do the play calling, let his defensive guy do the play calling, and not be involved in player movement.
Well, that's when you go back. That's when you go back to Belichick, and in some ways Kubiak just tries to follow the same mold, although he's not nearly at Belichick's level. But Belichick never calls plays. He doesn't call defenses. He doesn't call offenses. He has his coordinators make all the calls that you're talking about. Says, this is the scheme I want to run. This is who you need to isolate in defense. This is who you need to target on offense. And then he lets his defensive coordinators do it. He is such an amazing coach because he knows how to be a CEO. And a CEO doesn't do the nuts and bolts. You explain to your subordinates
what you need,
and they go and develop it for you. And that's why you get the Patriots making the playoffs every single freaking year, being the AFC Championship 5 or 8 of the last 10 years or whatever the hell it is.
Okay, so
you've got to make your calls right.
I got a question for you guys. Do you think Tom Brady would have been anything close to the quarterback he is today had he been on another team?
I'll take this one. Absolutely not. Plain and simple. Absolutely not.
I agree with you 100%. I think had he gone to any other team, he may not have even found the field.
I don't think he ever has become a starter. He's a journeyman.
He would have never found Giselle either.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. Tom Brady does not throw a lot of deep balls. He did that one year when they had Stallworth and Randy Moss and Wes Welker.
Oh, and he had Randy Moss.
Wes Welker opened up a deep ball. And he is an accurate passer, but let's be honest, 90% of Brady's passes are short West Coast-style passing, and it's the scheme that leaves them open. It's like with Montana. Montana was an amazing quarterback, but he also had a perfect system. I mean, he had wide-open players every time. So, you know, the scheme is amazing. Just a quick update on the game. It's 23-6 now. Jacksonville rolling over Indianapolis.
They are rolling.
Indy is now on the 1 yard line.
Oh!
Hopefully they'll actually get a touchdown this week.
I don't know if he caught that or not, but it's going to be P.I.
That's going to be pass interference.
Right, it's
going to
be P.I. He didn't catch it, but it's going to be P.I. on the one. So you would hope that the Colts can score it, but with Frank Gore in the backfield and that horrible offensive line, I'm not going to count on it.
Frank Gore play for any other team? I mean, I can't believe the guy's still in the league.
I can't either.
Well, I mean, he's not a bad change of pace guy, but he shouldn't be
well,
your starting running back.
When was the last time he had 100 yards? Has he done that in a while?
It's been a long time.
Well, he did that a couple times last year.
Did he?
No. He didn't have 100 yards last year at all.
Sure,
I don't know if he had 100 yards last year.
He didn't have a 100-yard game. Are we really saying that? I want to check on that.
look that one up.
Yeah.
I don't think he had 100-yard game last year.
I don't think he did. He may have.
They don't have an offensive line to give him a 100-yard game.
Yeah. Oh, well, you look at that. He just got in.
Yeah, he got a touchdown. Let's see. 2015 for Frank Gore. Let's see. Oh, I got to eat my pie. He came within 2 yards of it twice.
Yeah,
he didn't do it.
I was going to say, I know he came close to it, but he didn't get it.
Yeah.
But he did have 1,000 yards. I mean, that's not a bad season.
No, not at all.
16 games, too. You have to put that in perspective, though. That's 16 games. They get 1,000 yards in 16 games. That doesn't say much.
He's also the bell cow.
You don't think 1,000 yards for a running back is significant?
In 12 games, yes. In 16, no.
In how many games?
16 games? 1,000 yards? It means you have to average 63.3 yards a game or something like that.
I'm pretty sure you tell anyone that they're going to have a 1,000-yard running back and they're going to say that's my starter.
Well, I'm not going to say he's not a starter. I'm just saying when you break down the numbers compared to a college 1,000 yards, it's not that significant.
Well, yeah.
I don't care about college 1,000 yards. College means nothing. Yardage means nothing in college. I think it's hilarious they even keep stats because 1 week you're playing an actual level defense. The next week you're playing a JV squad.
That's how you compare.
You're playing a team that has a good secondary but has no offensive or no defensive line, and your running back is running through holes.
Let's give a shout out to the Crimson Tigers for taking care of business last night. That was a great game, I have to admit.
Well, the Tennessee game was pretty good.
Tennessee game was great.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of good games. That Clemson game.
Oh, boys, we got 90 seconds left in the show here, man. That went fast.
Yeah, it did. Well,
all right,
quick Monday night prediction.
Who plays Monday night?
Vikings Giants.
I was like, really, Mark?
Vikings win 24-10.
I'm going to go Vikings 17-10.
Yeah, I'll go Vikings 21-14.
Eli's not – when Eli has bad games, he has bad games. And he's had a couple bad games right now, especially against the Saints.
Yeah.
I mean, who would have saw
that?
The
offensive coordinator needs to get that ball into the hands of Odell Beckham Jr. This is getting ridiculous. Victor Cruz and Sterling Shepard should not be the leading receivers on that team. They're good players. They shouldn't be the leading receivers on that team. I'm sorry. Yeah. But, you know – It is what it is.
Good luck in fantasy today, guys.
Yeah, definitely.
It's going to be an interesting week.
We want to thank everybody for listening. Catch us at thesportsoffensive.com, on Facebook at The Sports Offensive with JP and Mark, and on Twitter at The SBT Offensive. I want to thank Mark and Nate for doing a Sunday show here right before football starts. And everybody out there in Radio Land, thank you very much. Guys, have a good Sunday.